Good evening and welcome to Building Bridges, your community and labor report. I'm Amy Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash.
First, we focus on the giant British march and protest rally against the war in Iraq this past Saturday with Jeremy Deer, General Secretary of the National Union of Journalists of Great Britain.
Good evening.
I heard, now we are talking about Great Britain, and I heard this wonderful glee from a group of protesters in New York who said, "We just heard that 400,000 people came out in Great Britain to protest the war in Iraq." Of course, the police estimate was 150,000, but in any event, what is the sentiment of the people of Great Britain that brought such a huge number of people out to protest the policies of Tony Blair?
Well, today there's been another poll in one of our national newspapers that shows that the level of support for a war in Iraq has dropped to 33% of the population, and I think that give some indication why so many people took to the streets on Saturday. Certainly the organisers claim 400,000 plus, but even the press, which has never been known to be that kind to numbers on labour movement demonstrations, has said 300,000, 350,000. And certainly nobody believes the police figures of 150,000. We certainly think it was the biggest anti-war demonstration for a generation. And last week, the Prime Minister published a dossier, what he called the dossier of death, and it was meant to show exactly why he believed that the UK needed, alongside the US, to go to war against Iraq. And as I say, since they published that dossier, which contains no new information and no real fact, lots of supposition, support for military action has fallen.
Jeremy, let's get back to the demonstration, because I believe you were at it, weren't you?
Certainly was.
Tell us some stories about it. Tell us what it felt like. What were the issues that were brought up at the demonstration? And what was the involvement of the trade union movement in Britain?
Ken, you're asking him to be a reporter again.
He is a reporter. He's also a union president. He calls himself they call it a general secretary there, but...
Sounds much more impressive.
Okay, whatever.
I mean, the mood was absolutely fantastic. It was a demonstration jointly organised by the Stop the War Coalition and the Muslim Association of Great Britain. So for probably the first time, it was bringing together a lot of community groups, a lot of black groups, a lot of trade unions, and a lot of peace and anti-war demonstrators. There were two themes. I mean, obviously the main theme was don't attack Iraq, but there was also a secondary and obviously what an awful lot of us feel vitally important and linked issue of Israel and Palestine, because I think one of the things that's come out so clearly in all the protests here is the absolute hypocrisy of saying on the one hand that Iraq has to abide by UN resolutions whilst not saying the same thing to the Israeli government or indeed Indian and Pakistani forces over Kashmir. So I think it was vital that we linked the two themes on the demonstration. I mean, the demonstration itself was a carnival. I believe in that 400,000 there was two people arrested for small public order offences. So it was a big, peaceful, real carnival of a demonstration with a very strong labour movement presence. There were national banners from my own union, from the Communication Workers Union, from both the rail unions, and branch banners from dozens and dozens of unions, including the big public service and civil service unions as well.
Jeremy, the union movement here has certainly not mobilized, at least in the form of the AFL-CIO, the parent entity of organized labor that represents approximately 13 million workers. What is the critical departure in Great Britain that has brought labor into the forefront of organizing to prevent further incursion and war with Iraq?
I think there's two things. I mean, we have seen over the past probably 2 years, but certainly over the past 12 months, a real kind of leftward shift in the outlook and policies of a lot of our unions. And I think that's been a big factor in people being much more prepared to stand up for their convictions and stand up for a real labour movement response to this crisis. But also I think that what is so clear to people is that this is a conflict which is being driven by oil, being driven by business interests, and in large part here being seen as something driven by US foreign policy rather than an issue for the UK. We do not feel under threat from Saddam Hussein's regime. Barbaric and despicable as that regime is, there is certainly no fear amongst people here that we are under threat from that regime. And therefore, people cannot see the reason for spending billions and billions of dollars on a conflict when there are so many things in our own country, our public services in particular, that need that money instead. And I think people have drawn the conclusion, in a lot of cases, that the government can find money for war, but it can't find money for... We have a dispute with our firefighters going on at the moment. We have a number of problems with funding of public services. And so people are drawing those conclusions, and I think that's bringing the labour movement really to the fore on some of these questions.
Well, I think the British labour movement has to come to the US more often, because we have the same problems here, but I wish the American labour movement would listen more to the British labour movement. I did want to mention, though, that you had said before that nobody really believed the police estimates that all the press in Europe was talking about, it being much more than 150,000. Well, the New York Times and the U.S. press believed the police estimates, and I wonder whether the message got through to Tony Blair at all and whether he's moderating his position.
There's been a big debate today at the Labour Party conference, and there was really three positions up for debate. One was the government's position, which tried to stop the conference really taking any position on it and allowing Tony Blair and the government a free hand on Iraq. There was a motion of total opposition to war under any circumstances. And there was the compromise position, if you like, that Britain shouldn't be involved in any unilateral or bilateral action with the US unless it had been sanctioned by the United Nations. Now, this morning, after pressure from the unions, the government actually withdrew their own statement, and in the end, the debate happened around the two positions. The position of, if you like, the compromise position of working through the United Nations was passed, but only by 60% to 40%. So 40% of the Labour Party conference, which is not known for its radicalism in recent years, voted for the position of total opposition to war. I mean, I think that the government and Tony Blair have had to pay attention. We've had the biggest demonstration against the war, or against war in a generation. The other day we had 50-odd Labour MPs refuse to back a government position on the war. We've had cabinet ministers speak out against any kind of unilateral action. And then today we see polls showing continuing support, despite supposedly the publication of this dossier that was meant to show the weapons of mass destruction and the threat that the US and UK were under from Saddam's regime was meant to bolster support for military action. And in fact, all of those things combined seem to have had the opposite effect, and less people now support military action than they did a month or 2 months ago.
Jeremy, dear, I still don't quite understand the position or the recalcitrance in some way of Tony Blair. I'm reminded of when Great Britain made its incursion into Egypt, which provoked a parliamentary crisis, and the prime minister actually had to step down. Is that what's going to happen here? How are we to understand, in the face of approximately 80 to 85% public opinion against a war with Iraq and Great Britain, that Blair continues to saber-rattle? He